following is a presentation of Emmanuel Covenant Church, located in South Surrey, British Columbia. To learn more, please visit us online at emmanuelcovenant.ca.
So, I think I mentioned, or maybe I mentioned, maybe I didn't, when we picked this series, I was excited. I think this has been a great verse for us to go through. It's full of stuff. I mean, chock full of information, chock full of history, chock full of just concrete things that God is telling us, requiring us to do. What was really neat for me was we got this series, and we as a church family picked it. And then the first thing that I got then from Cascades, the camp that I went and spoke at down in Yelm for a week this summer, their theme verse was the exact same verse. And so it's given me a chance to prepare, you know, during that for that week and talking to junior high age students about this, about justice and mercy and walking humbly with God. And then to hear the different ways that different people have really talked about those themes and those ideas to us as a congregation has been really neat. Last week, I talked a lot about the idea of doing justice, that it wasn't a love justice, it wasn't a think highly of justice, it wasn't a, you know, point out things and then just let them be. But God requires us to do justice. And over the last couple days, the part of the verse that's been kind of speaking to me alongside that has been the "and walk humbly with our God" part of it. That in doing justice and in loving mercy, we're called to do this as God wants us to do this. This isn't like an unguided, misdirected, just like, you know, I'm going to tell the joke. It's okay. So one of my favorite TV shows is about doctors, and a younger doctor asked an older doctor, "How many aspirin should I give, you know, my patient?" And the doctor responded, "It's regular strength aspirin. Take a handful, throw it at the patient. Whatever ends up in the mouth, that's the amount. Like it's that safe to do it." So that's not what God is calling us to do, to just throw aspirin at a patient's, but He is directing us, guiding us as we engage with God, as we prayerfully dialogue with God about what are the areas that we can love mercy together as a faith community? What are areas that we can do justice together as a faith community? One of the things that's been pointed out and we'll continue to hear more about in coming weeks is this Covenant Kids Congo idea. Just one opportunity that we have, but there are others as well. And so one of the things that we have to do as a church family is to discern together where God is calling us to do justice and to love mercy. And we do that as we walk humbly with God, not just a shot in the dark, but as we walk hand in hand with God and with Jesus Christ. So with that said, I'd love to invite anyone who is willing to just come and share, talk about what God has been saying to you over the last month. The mic is there and it's on.
I'm going to read this verse. "He has shown you, O mortal, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you? To act justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God." This verse is often, I don't know if puzzles the word for me, but just to fully understand what it means and what it should mean to me. But when Richard spoke a few Sundays back, I believe God opened it up to me in a new way. And He said, "Act justly, love mercy, and walk humbly with your God. can only be done in a relationship with Jesus. If you don't have a relationship with Jesus, you will find that is impossible to do. Because mercy, we think of mercy as Pastor Eric said, giving and seeing people in need and helping them. But when it boils down to, there's mercy for us in our personal lives. Do we have mercy on people who gripe us or whatever? I mean, this is a big thing. And I'm glad that God spoke to me through our brother. This all depends on a relationship with Jesus Christ. He's the only one that can enable you to respond to people when you know it's mighty hard for us apart from his grace. That's what we need. God's grace to be just, God's grace to show mercy, and God's grace to walk humbly with our God.
Good morning. Go closer. Good morning. I just want to give a little bit of history before I say the relativity to the Micah 6. As some of you know, our family, we have two girls, and one of our daughters and husband had lived in Hawaii for many, many years, acquired a life there, including a number of four-legged belongings, and when they lost their application to come to stay in the U.S., they ended up losing absolutely everything except the four-leggeds, but they lost their home, they lost all the money they had put in their home, they have come home to Vancouver with absolutely nothing, and one of the things that's always been in Karen's life is to be a person who always stuck up for the underdog, no pun intended. But she would always get involved in helping out people in whatever way. And, of course, she always did the animal rescue things as well. But, you know, she's never been a person that's been involved in, you know, acquiring material things. That's just not been her thing. But coming home to Vancouver and starting all over again, getting a job in Canada again, and all these kinds of things has proved challenging. But our younger daughter, Kelly, who is involved, as some of you know, in a ministry of Stepping Stones for Youth for Christ, and her husband is a teacher, and her husband had a couple of children that, you know, he'd been married before, and it's been an interesting and a very blessed thing that this has happened to our younger daughter. And Kelly and Rory took Karen and Cliff under their umbrella, literally in their home, welcomed them with all the four-leggeds, and has lovingly had them in their home since they've been back. And Kelly and Rory moved this year ago now into White Rock. Yay, they're closer now. They were in Richmond. And they bought an older home that they renovated. And it has a basement suite. So when the home was finally ready for occupying everyone, Karen and Cliff moved into the basement suite, which of course is hard on Karen living in her younger sister's basement suite. But she's very thankful. And Kelly had always said that, you know, they're covering their house and bathing it in prayer and scripture. But I didn't take it literally, particularly. But the day that Arosha was here, we went to Kelly and Rory's for lunch, and the family was together. And I mentioned that lady and mentioned the message and how we're doing this series in our church. And she said, well, you know that when they were doing the renovating, they literally wrote Micah 6 all over their house. before it got covered with gyprock and whatever else they were doing. I had no idea. Every room in their house is covered with mica 6. That is the way they want to live, their home, their lives are open to those. And I just am so grateful, and I thought it was so cool that we could have this opportunity to talk about this kind of thing. And I think it's wonderful that Eric, this morning, he took this, I don't know how he took it last night, but he took it well this morning. I said to him, so is your buddy here? And he said, no. And so he told me what was going to happen. And I had already shared this Micah 6 story with Eric, and so he's encouraged me to come up here. So, and I thank God for this church too.
He's dead. 3 or 4 weeks ago after church, late after church, we went off to the Rockies. We went camping for a couple of weeks. And we got as far as Abbotsford, and we had some issues, like the brakes were stuck on in our motorhome. So it was like supper time, and we looked around for a place to get it fixed, of course, but it's Sunday evening and that wasn't possible. So we've contacted my sister who lives out in Abbotsford, and we were trying to figure out where we would stay for the night. And she had an idea about Fraser Valley Gleaners. Do you know about Fraser Valley Gleaners? Gleaners, for those of you who don't know what it is, like, it's not a very common word. I mean, the only place I ever read the word was in the Old Testament. And it has to do with the practice in the old days of when the fields were harvested, the harvesters intentionally left some of the crop in the field, intentionally or not intentionally, I guess. And after the workers had gone home, the poor people came and they collected the food. They collected the wheat or the grain or whatever, and that's what they lived on. And so it was kind of a way of looking after the poor. I guess a group probably of Mennonites out in Abbotsford a few years ago kind of took that idea on and set up Fraser Valley Gleaners. And they have a building, and they collect food from farms, from companies, from donations, and every morning, 5 days a week, a group of 20 to 50 people come and work at Fraser Valley Gleaners, preparing the food, drying the food, and packaging it up. And the big thing that they make is soup mix out of all of the vegetables. It's a big operation. Like, I don't know, I'm not sure of the numbers, but I think last year they did 13 million servings of soup. And the food gets sent all around the world to wherever there is a need. So they have this big area out in Abbotsford somewhere, a big building, like as big as this building with the dryers, and this is where the workers meet. And so we went there because in their yard they have a place for motorhomes to park, because sometimes people come and work for a week and then they can stay right on the site. And when we got there, there was a couple that were living there, and we explained the situation, and they said, well, you're supposed to work for a day if you stay here, but we'll make an exception for you guys because you're in kind of trouble here. And you'll get your vehicle fixed in the morning, which is indeed what happened. So we were really thankful for that, but we looked around, and then the couple that lived there said, would you like to have a tour? And we said, sure. We've heard about this place before, but we'd like to have a tour and see what's going on. So After supper, they came and knocked on the door, and we went in for a tour. So the couple are some people that we never met before. They spend half their year, it appears, at Fraser Valley Gleaners, supervising, working, helping, guarding the place at night, and that sort of stuff. And the other half of the year in, I think, Costa Rica, Nicaragua, Guatemala. One of those places down there, and they run a soup kitchen for the poor in a very small village. So they gave us a tour, they talked to us about what they did, they invited us to come to Guatemala and help them, which isn't out of the realm of possibilities. But there's an amazing group that have certainly taken the show mercy part to heart. The volunteers come, many of them are retired, but whoever comes, and they have big crowds, 20 to 30 to 40 to 50 people some days. Some of them are 90 years old. They come and work for half a day each morning. So we're going to go and do that this fall. If you want to come and show mercy with us, talk to us. It's a bit of a drive out there, and we'd be happy to take a car full and check it out.
Sorry, but just to link it with Emmanuel, twice our 50 plus group has gone from here to
home. Well, because I'm not close to 50, I wasn't aware of that. So there's a little commercial for Showing Mercy and Gleaners, Fraser Valley Gleaners.
About 25 years ago, which would be about the time this church was getting started, I was kind of going through a spiritual awakening in my life, and this whole church life has kind of a parallel journey with my own. You wouldn't recognize that, but I recognize it. And at that point, my business was beginning to do quite well. It was beginning to grow, and as a result of this epiphany that I had, the spiritual awakening I had, I had chose to dedicate my business to God, even to the point where I was trying to find a way where I could legally put God on as a partner on my business or as the owner. That couldn't be done, but that was a thought that I even had. And it's because I did want to do the first two parts of that last sentence, to do justice and love mercy. And immediately things just started to fall apart. And I was really confused as to why God would take the only gift, basically at that time I felt it was the only gift that I really had, and not use it and throw it away. And to the point where I went through a bankruptcy probably about 5 years after that, and it was just everything went downhill after that. And after I had no business, no work, I was just kind of contemplating what had happened. God spoke to me and says, It's not your money, it's not your business, it's not your things that I want, it's you that I want. And so the next part of that sentence, to walk humbly with your God, has been the journey. God picking away at my pride, picking away at, it's the first two things you can do. You can decide, I am going to do things justly, I am going to love mercy, I'm going to do whatever I can. But you can't just wake up one morning and say, I'm going to be humble. That takes a process, and it's still a process that's going on. And as I was, I didn't hear Reed's sermon, and of course I didn't hear Brady's this morning. when we were going to have the different people come, I thought that there would be somebody or all would focus on that word, because that was the word that I focused on when we, you know, the humility part of it, because that was the hard part. And until Eric kind of brought that up this morning, I was going to say something. I said, okay, well, I guess I'm done. He just he took that over. But I think that's important for us to understand. You know, the ultimate in mercy and justice is God coming to die on the cross in human form. That was the ultimate in justice and mercy right there. But humbling himself from in heaven didn't have to. And I think that's that's my testimony this morning, that until we really humble ourselves, not only before God but before everybody else, it's going to be hard to do those first two things.
I don't like getting up in front of people and speaking, but I said to Eric that I would, and I said to him, if we're getting near the end, you just point your finger at me, and I didn't want him to have to do that, so. when I look at this passage, it's sort of quite annoying to me, really, the whole passage. I'll explain why. My wife really loves books, so we go to chapters quite often, and so because we're in there for anywhere from half an hour to a couple of hours, I tend to look through books myself. So, but the first thing I do is I turn over the book to the back just to see what it's about, and I decide whether I'll then open it up. And to me, this passage is basically what should be on the back of the Bible. So when you flip it over, you have a look, and this passage would make me open it up because it tells you basically from start to finish what the Bible is about. And the reason it annoys me is because it really makes me look at myself, my life, you know, from start to finish, not finished yet, hopefully, and sort of the things that you've done and haven't done and the things that you should do and shouldn't do. So to me, this passage just is the whole Bible just in just two or three lines, and it's very quite powerful to me.
Hi, I'm Cheryl. I need to move. I'm a grade 4 teacher at Richmond Christian School. And last week we were having our back-to-school meetings and our transition meetings to support our children with special needs and just make sure everything's smooth. On Monday, we had an amazing guest speaker. I'd like to share a little bit of his story with you, because as I was listening to him, just transfixed, this is what he was talking about. His name is Brian McConaughey. Some of you might know that he was in the RCMP. He's also the person who founded an international organization called Ratanac International that rescues and ministers especially to children who have been traded overseas, especially in Cambodia. But this is how Brian's life started. He was born in Northern Ireland in the 1960s, where just going out into your front yard meant a bomb might go off or a stray bullet might shoot you. School was really, really hard for him. It was a dark period of his life that he'd rather forget. It still causes him traumatic feelings when he thinks back and looks at it carefully. He has a very severe case of dyslexia, and they didn't really know about it back then. He was in a Catholic school system. It was very strict, and he just did not fit in. He couldn't read. He was put in a separate classroom with children with intellectual impairments, and he was told, Brian, you're a really nice boy, but I think the only job you'll be able to do when you grow up is to dig ditches. He was His gross motor control was poor, so he couldn't play sports like the other boys did. He couldn't compete academically like the other kids did. He didn't fit in. He was bullied often. He was severely beaten out on the playground by classmates. Two people protected him. One was his mom at home, a devout Christian woman. And she encouraged him and comforted him with the knowledge of God doesn't make mistakes. You know, God has a good plan for you. And there was one teacher, an art teacher, who would call him into the art portable at recess and lunch so that he would have a safe place to be. And that's where he found out he had an incredible ability with fine motor control and patterns and design. A very dark time. His family immigrated to Canada, and by the time he finished high school, just a horrible experience, God had given him an unusual gift, a gift to love weapons. When he was growing up in Ireland, soldiers were his best friends because they were the people who protected them and kept them safe. He memorized every device that they used, every piece of artillery, he knew it inside and out. He had an amazing memory for it. After high school, he had a chance to go work in a Canadian military museum that had thousands of weapons. He memorized all of them, all their modifications, all their uses, their history, everything. He became like a walking computer. But again, he was thinking, Lord, thank you for this job, but what a bizarre skill set you've given me. What can I do that's useful? And how can I serve you with this strange skill set of being able to memorize these things? I can't read, but I can memorize and see patterns. Well, his fine motor control was so good that he started doing competitive shooting. He became so amazing that the RCMP they headhunted him. They wanted him to come and train their special squads. And also they wanted him to come and be a ballistics expert and do forensic science for them. So they said, Brian, you already have everything we need you to do. You just need a university degree. You could get it in home economics. We don't care, as long as you have a piece of paper. But he couldn't read. His functional reading level was just, it was a great, great impairment and impediment for him his whole life. But somebody, I think it was McGill that accepted him. He followed his area of interest, which was military history. He just listened with the excellent auditory learning God gave him. And anything that a professor repeated three times, he would write that down as best he could. He said, I didn't spell it right, but I wrote it down. And then he found out what that meant, and he memorized those things. And 4 years later, without cracking a single textbook, and if you've been to university, you know, I don't know how that works. He got his degree, and the RCMP hired him. And then he was trained in forensic sciences. He worked solving crimes that were amazing. He could see the patterns of, you know how bullets are marked in certain ways, the rifling from the barrel? He could match up bullets visually, and he could also remember a bullet pattern from 6 months previously and connect cases before all the databases that we have today existed. And he was just a real treasure for the RCMP to have. And he helped bring justice in many criminal cases. He worked exclusively on the Robert Picton case for 2 years and helped bring closure for some of the families who lost their daughters and their mothers. His RCMP work took him over to Asia, to Cambodia, where he found out about the illegal trade of children there, and that Canadian pedophiles would go over there to get their needs met. Eventually, he left the RCMP to start Radanak International, which is now, you know, setting up safe houses and all sorts of rehab situations for women and children who have been rescued out of those situations. And it's all because God doesn't make mistakes. He knew Brian needed to have the compassion that comes, that can be born out of experiencing deep pain and surviving it. He needed that skill set. He became a tremendous public speaker, and God used all his special gifts to do something he never dreamed would have been possible, to do justice and to love mercy as he continues to try to walk with God. He's adopted two boys from Cambodia that go to our school, so that's how he's one of the parents in our school. I just want to make a challenge right now as we're looking into the fall season, and please pray that the gap will close between what the Teacher Federation and the government would like to see, you know, for a settlement, that somehow miraculously God would make a way for reconciliation. But hopefully soon, you guys are going to be going back to school. So students, teachers, parents, grandparents, me, I'm challenging all of us, anybody who connects with children in a meaningful way. Every child is precious, and we all come in different and unusual packages. For me, when I was a kid, I was like the shyest thing you've ever seen. I still have an anxiety disorder, but I'm standing here anyway. God can help us walk through. We need to equip and come alongside of every child and see their gifting, see their intrinsic worth, that they are made in the image of God. God does not make mistakes, and he has a good plan for everybody. But his plan is also that we protect and come alongside and show mercy when any of us is feeling weak and down and misunderstood and lonely. Students, let's watch out for our classmates who might be feeling some of the things that Brian McConaughey felt when he was going to school and he was so misunderstood and he was hurt. Let's be those people who stand up and say, hey, you're not treating this person right. Hey, this person's my friend. Take a hike. Let's protect the people who can't protect themselves yet. Let's be God's agents of change in this world.
My wife may give me heck for speaking, but I will. I'm trying to be so thankful for this church and all they've done for Sue and myself. And I want to. First of all, Sue went through her last chemotherapy on Friday, and the results of everything have been really looking good. And she's very hopeful and thankful that her cancer is over and done with. And I am too, of course. But I can't thank this church and you people. I'm not going to try and name you all because I might miss and get in trouble when I get home. So I'll just say thank you. You know who you are, and you know I'm just saying how much we appreciate what you've done for us. Thank you.
Been lots of these moments over the last year and a half plus, but this is one of those times where I am so thankful to be a part of this church and to hear the way that God is moving and speaking, and that we're able to share that with one another, learn from one another, hear stories from one another. It's so cool what God is doing in the lives of people here at Emmanuel. Let me pray for us, and we can continue in worship this morning. God, we love you. God, we thank you that you have invited, called each of us to be a part of this church, to be a part of Emmanuel. God, we thank you for this series, for the words that you gave to Micah and that Micah delivered to the Israelites and that we read today. God, your requirements to do justice, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with you. God, thank you for the ways that this verse has been opened up to us over the last month, for the different voices that we've heard speak to it, for the different ways that this has opened up the way that we see the world, the way that we see those that we interact with, the way that we hear stories of those around us, the ways that you have put things in our life that we now are able to see as opportunities for justice and for mercy and opportunities to walk humbly with you, God. God, we pray this morning for Brady and for his health. We thank you that you created this opportunity, that you knew that this is what was going to happen and made this incredible morning of it. God, as we continue to worship you this morning, we just ask that your Holy Spirit be present here with us. And God, we pray all of this in the name of your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
This has been a presentation of Emmanuel Covenant Church, located in South Surrey, British Columbia. To learn more, please visit us online at emmanuelcovenant.ca.